This is an adult podcast made for adults by adults. Welcome to Fake Film Fans. So normally we don't talk about serious stuff on the opener, but unfortunately Suede's dad's brain cancer has been regrowing, and it seems like it's going to be pretty expensive, and his family does seem to need help financially. We're going to include a GoFundMe for his dad's health below in the description, and also on our social media. If you can't help out, consider sharing it. I think Suede and his family would greatly appreciate it. Suede gets into more detail about it at the end of this podcast, so if you want to hear a little bit about it first, feel free to click on the timestamps below to listen to more of the details. With that out of the way, don't worry. This episode is still just gibberish and doesn't make any sense as usual, because that's how we deal with tragedy, by escaping into nonsense. Right after, we listen to some posture.
Everybody, hey, welcome to Fake Film Fans. My name's Suede Best, and I'm your special Christmas boy.
Hey everyone, I'm Walter, and I'm the happiest co-host one could possibly be this week, because Suede is back. Except, why are you part of Christmas again? I don't get it.
Because we didn't record a Christmas episode, so now it's time to record a Christmas episode, right?
So you want me to release a Christmas episode 3 weeks or 2 weeks after Christmas?
Yeah, you didn't record an episode. I mean, because I was busy, right? You didn't record an episode without me, did you?
I did, though.
You did.
Okay, what's your fucking plan? What's your fucking plan here?
What do you mean, what's my fucking plan? Did you record? Wait, are you saying you recorded an episode without me?
What was I supposed to do?
I didn't realize it was an episode. Oh my god. Okay. That's cool. That's fine. Just look. Did you at least talk about how great Christmas is and how much you love Christmas? You talked about how much and how you would love Santa and you want to kiss him on the mouth?
Didn't really talk about Santa. I talked about the more exciting bits of Christmas.
Okay. Like what?
Like the anime watching, the no friends, the no family.
Okay, and the Christmas tree?
I did talk about Christmas trees. I talked about it in the more exciting way, how like Christmas trees are a representation of how kids are fucking cucked by capitalism.
It sounds to me like you did a pretty let. You didn't talk about how good Christmas is in the episode, huh?
No, I did. It was so fucking fun. And no one cried. Most people cry on Christmas, but I didn't cry.
All right, you recorded an episode about Christmas without me, which is a little horseshit, but you know what? It's fine. Sorry, I was gone, folks. I had stuff going on.
Our favorite co-host is back, baby.
Yeah.
My little DJs, he's back.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You gotta fucking stop that. I had a combination of pretty nasty chest cold that made me lose my voice, which is, I don't know if you guys know this, but bad for podcasts.
Isn't that called bronchitis?
It wasn't bronchitis.
Or pneumonia?
Yeah, it was pneumonia. I had pneumonia, I had COVID, I had RSV, I had the consumption.
How about the lungen fight more?
What? Lungenfeimer?
Yeah, the Lungenfeimer.
Oh, the Lungenfeimer. What is that? I've heard that before. What are the symptoms?
Well, like, you run so fast, your lungs turn upside down, but it turns upside down more, so it gets lungified more. So instead of 360 degrees, it's 360 plus 180. So it's actually upside down. But then what?
I'm on pins and needles here. Come on, let me know.
But then you fucking stop running. The lungs do the fucking springy thing where they go backwards.
Yeah,
and then it goes
backwards a lot. Your lungs go backwards a lot and it keeps spinning.
Back and forth.
Because you run so fast, it does 480 degrees, right?
So you can't walk. You can't breathe. It's a very terrible disease. You have to stay in bed until your lungs get back into the right position so it doesn't spring anymore, and then you're healed. So luckily, the doctors, they got this one, Gabe. I don't know why I called you guys gays. I tried to call you guys guys, but I called you guys gays.
Wait. You called them gays instead of guys? We're all a little gay on the inside. Everyone's gay on the inside.
Like Amanda Burns.
Just like Amanda Bynes. I do want to say really quickly a few things. One of which is that, so this Christmas season almost killed my love for Christmas, and I will tell you why. So there's this restaurant in Roanoke. People who are from the area will know what I'm talking about, called the Roanoker. And it was around for 81 years, and it was, in my opinion, pretty shitty. If you like country food, like biscuits and like cream gravy, and I like a biscuit, but like, you know, just like some really like fucking country ass.
So basically,
food.
This is a restaurant that I would love.
I guess, but the problem is, I mean, this is my issue with the Roanoker. I didn't think it was good food. It's not my style, but it was also more expensive. I would have rather just gone to Waffle House.
Let's be fair, Waffle House is not country food.
No, but it can do a lot of things the Roanoker did. But I am in the small minority.
Suede also refuses to bring me to Cracker Barrel, guys.
Yeah, fuck Cracker Barrel.
And it's dog shit, because you can buy a gun at Cracker Barrel, and he's not letting me do that.
That's true. You can buy guns at Cracker Barrel. You can buy a gun. You can buy a Confederate soldier's sword.
I want to do that! I'm Asian. I can do that.
Yeah, it's true. It's not racist if you're Asian. All right. So this restaurant closed and the owner has a cookbook that she just made. So we said we'd sell the cookbook at the bookstore. I thought we'd sell like 250. Motherfucking within the first 36 hours of this cookbook being on sale, we sold 800 copies. And that is like the kind of thing that we do like over a year. We never sell that many books.
Wait, do you still have one of those books?
Dude, I have fucking 2,300 of those books.
I might have to buy one.
You want one? You want one? I'll fucking get you one, Walt.
I want to know the meatloaf recipe. I love meatloaf.
There's no meatloaf in there. I don't think they have a meatloaf recipe.
Oh, then what the fuck is the point of that? Then it's not country food.
Well, so the thing is, it's like half of a souvenir book being like, oh, this is the history. Because the Roanoker, like I said, opened for 81 years. I mean, it's like an old-ass restaurant.
China has been existing for 5,000 years.
Okay. Okay. So first of all, that was like such a statement that I can't even get back to what I was thinking. Okay, I just couldn't fucking with this goddamn book and all these people. And you know what? It was good for the store. It's good for the restaurant that's closed now. And all the little old ladies who were like, me and my husband went there every Sunday before he died. You know, that was like really nice for them. These little old ladies out from like Hillsville being like, oh, can I have a cookbook? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, ma'am. Do you want to order online or in store? And they're like, I'd like to do it over the telephone. And then I'm like, all right. It almost killed my Christmas spirit. I almost hated Christmas this year. This was the first year I almost hated Christmas. And I managed to hold on in part because of Jimmy Buffett's Christmas album. Just saying. Good Christmas album. It's great. Listen to Jimmy Buffett's Christmas album next Christmas. That's all I'm going to say about Christmas.
What I got from this story, though, is that you actively want your bookstore to fail because you only are happy when you sell books no one wants.
No.
I don't like the fact we're selling this popular book at the bookstore. Can we sell fucking chick horror fucking short stories again? God damn it.
Why aren't I selling more Thomas Ligety's Conspiracy Against the Human Race? Oh, why aren't I selling more? You know, yeah. It was just very, very busy. I would get a call and it'd be like, I'm coming to pick up my book. And I'd be like, okay. And they're like, I'm just going to pull up in front of the store and you can bring it out to me. And I'm like, okay. And then meanwhile, there are like 17 customers waiting to get checked out. And there are like three little old ladies parked outside waiting for me to bring them their books. And like, I'm also trying to do the social media for the store and do the inventory, which is so much because we're getting all these Christmas books in.
Why did the Roanoker want you guys to sell the book then? If they did such great marketing like that already, did they need a bookstore to help?
The lady who made the book is totally fantastic. She's a good lady. I don't think she would have had the infrastructure. Like, we barely did this. We worked so many hours to get this shit. Because you don't realize how much goes into, like, let's say you have to send out, like, we've been sending out batches of, you know, 200 books. You have to get 200 packages ready. You have to make sure all the addresses are right. You have to make sure all the shipping's correct. You know, if you get it wrong, then you're out the cost of the book plus the money you would make off the book. So, you know, if a book is $25 and you get 40% off, which is like the industry standard, you're going to make 40% of that book when you sell it, right? If you get the package wrong, not only have you lost that 40%, you've also lost the price of the book itself. You're not making money off of it, and there's a good chance there's someone else who's gotten an order incorrectly that you're not making money off of. So like every time you screw up a package, you've screwed over two transactions. And if you do that enough, you cut into your profits. Does that make sense? You're just smiling. You're looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
No, I just, even if I did understand this, I don't know how interested I would be.
Just, yeah, just fast forward through this bit. Speed this bit up. Me talking about how it works, just like go.
Well, the real thing I was more like curious is that it wasn't your bookstore doing the marketing, right?
There was very little marketing that was done for this.
So it was the Roanoker, though.
So the lady who owned the store put out a Facebook blast. We got 800 orders in 36 hours. So then we told some of our friends at the newspaper.
Roanoker, come on, hire us. That's what I've decided. Hire
I know,
us.
Right? Roanoker.
Let's get on the Roanoker Facebook page, baby. Let's go.
If you on Twitter email us and say, hey, I want a Roanoker cookbook, I will make that happen. I promise you.
Okay, wait. It's not just that. We need to find a Roanoker film. Oh, fuck. I got a great idea. Take your camera out. And from your phone, film it for 5 seconds, and then we'll do a podcast episode on it and pretend it's a movie, because I've already proven that I can talk about movies that have no plot in it, and then we could just talk about it, and then we could tell the Roanoker we did a movie on them. Then they'll have to put it on their Facebook page.
You could make a pretty sweet documentary, like sweet as in like, oh, how lovely, documentary about the Roanoker, because people have a lot of really good memories about that place. So I don't know. Yeah, dude, let's fucking make a documentary about the Roanoker. Let's fucking do it, dude.
But if you have no memories of it, it would be like a hate documentary.
No, the documentary would be called, it would be about me being like, why do people give a shit about this restaurant? And then I interview people and I learn more and more stories about the Roanoker until at the end I'm like, wow, this place had a lot of meaning for a lot of people.
Oh, so it's not a documentary. It's more, it's an auto documentary about your coming of age story.
No. I'm going to come all over you. How about that?
Oh, you brought up sex on the podcast.
I did. I brought up sex on the podcast. Okay.
Let's do a documentary about sex in the Roanoker.
Let's do a documentary about sex on the beach. Sex, sex, sex on the beach. Watched a movie we talked about earlier on the podcast. She's the Man. She's the Man, baby.
You remember which movie we talked about on the podcast for it?
Oh, it was Music Loop Deconstruction 9/11 1.1, right?
Okay.
Did I get the title right? What was it called?
Disintegration Loops 1.1.
Okay, okay. So not even close to being correct.
It's not even the worst answer, because that was put on the Christmas episode, and the movie we talked about, She's the Man, was a Christmas movie.
Oh, it was Christmas Prince, Christmas! Wasn't it? It was Christmas Prince.
Christmas!
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 Merry Christmas! Merry Roanoker Cookbook Christmas! Fuck my ass, God.
Initially, last episode, as I explained, I was going to be more into Christmas than you, but I have decided I am going to be more into Christmas this year. Christmas! Let's go! I love Christmas! Let's go! I can't right, wait
I'll
for
hate
Christmas.
I hate it. I hate when everyone's happy and joyful. No, we can't keep talking about Christmas.
I'm gonna talk about Christmas, guys.
Okay. She's the Man, starring Amanda Bynes, 2006.
Amanda Burns.
Amanda Burns. Amanda Gorman. Do you know who Amanda Gorman is, Walt?
No.
She's the poet laureate for Biden's... She's like, I think, the youngest poet laureate. Anyway.
What's a poet laureate?
I don't, like, really know the point, but it's like when the government and the president is like, this is the national poet. And then everyone's like, sweet, this is a dope poet.
Okay,
I don't know
everyone,
what they do.
Though?
Like, the U.S.
Probably, like, 1% of America. Right?
Well, dude, it was, like, a big deal for Amanda Gorman, because she was, like, a very young black woman, and it's, like, right on the tail of Trump's presidency, and so people were like, wow.
Really?
And she, I mean, she is a good... Yeah, she's a good poet.
I didn't hear anyone talk about her.
Well, maybe it was just because I'm in the book sphere.
That's what I mean. You're 1%.
People who read books are not 1% of America, Walt.
Oh, yeah? Only 1% of America can even add 1 plus 1 equals 2.
I thought 1 plus 1 equals 4.
Well, that's America education, baby.
That's American education. Yeah, this movie was good, actually. This was a good movie. I liked
this.
Oh,
I didn't realize. I thought that you might not like this movie because it's cheesy and it's not gory or zany, really. That's why I thought you would not
like
it.
It is a little zany.
A little zany.
Well, I think you're forgetting something, Walter.
What?
You're forgetting the jingle for Suede's plot time.
Oh, we need to do the plot first again? That are
we? Yeah, got yeah, yeah. We got to do the plot. Do the jingle.
Beep, 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 beep. Merry Christmas. I love Christmas. We're going to be talking about Christmas throughout this whole fucking year. Let's go.
That's right. Time. This is the plot time brought to you by Christmas. Brought to you by Santa and the Roanoker Cookbook. No, so Amanda Bynes, she's supposed to be in high school. She's 20, for all you people out there who are worried that it's a problem. She's 20. Don't worry.
What?
Well, she's cute in this movie, right? And you're like, oh no.
People don't do that for Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet? Try that again. Can you say his actual name?
Timothy Chalamet.
Nope. Try again.
Timothy Chalamet?
No, the first name is right. It's the last name.
Oh, okay. Timothy Chalamet.
No, you're just saying the same thing over and over again.
Wait, have I always been pronouncing his name wrong then?
Yeah, it's Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, I just didn't know his name then. I always thought it was Timothy Chalamet.
That is it. You said it right this time.
Oh, what do I usually say?
Chalamet, or like Malachay, or Grandma Gray. Like you just always say
his it. His name is not an easy name. Get a fucking English name, Timothy. God fucking damn it.
So Amanda Bynes is this girl who loves soccer and wants to go play for the Tar Heels, which is a North Carolina college team, I think, something like that. She is very excited. The scouts are coming to see her and her all-girls team of soccer play. Soccer for like college, but it gets cut so the boys can play more because there's this big game coming up. And she gets very mad and is like, I can do it. I'm as good as the boys. The coach is like, no, you're not. Boys, girls aren't as good as boys. That's just science. I mean, like, he literally
also
says that.
This coach rhymed when he was saying his sexist stuff. And immediately I thought of you.
I do hate women.
You do love your rhyming characters and you are a rhymer. So I thought, damn, Sweet is going to relate to this coach.
I did not relate to this coach because.
He only rhymed once.
He only rhymed once. I rhyme 7 to 8 times a day. And earlier, Amanda Bynes' boyfriend is like, you're as good as some of the boys. And then when she's like, didn't you say that? He's like, nah, that's not how it works. And so she breaks up with him and decides to sort of, through a bunch of chicanery and shenanigans, dress up as a man and go to the opposing school's soccer team to prove that she's better. And then she meets Channing Tatum and she like falls in love with him, except she's dressed as a dude. Except for sometimes she dresses as a lady, and so Channing Tatum thinks she's her brother. It's like a whole comedy of error things, and it's based off of The Twelfth Night, which is a comedy of errors written by Shakespeare. So there's a lot of people getting confused with who's who and stuff like that. It's a fun, confusing romp, but in the end, she says she's a girl, that she wins the game, she does a good job.
She shows her boobs.
She does show her boobs, but not to the camera, which is a little bit bullshit.
Which is a bad job.
Which is a bad job. I was so excited because I remember in Eurotrip, one of the girls shows her boobs, and I'm like, yeah, titties. But she didn't in this movie. It's fucking bullshit. 0 out of 10. But anyway, so she's like, Channing Tatum, I really like you. And he's like, oh, well, kind of lied to me. And then she's like, oh, man. And then Channing Tatum shows up and is like, guess what? I still love you. We're going to be together. And they smooch. And it's like a happy end. It's, you know, it's a Shakespeare's comedy based off of. So everyone ends up with someone else. You know, the whole Shakespeare thing. It either ends with death or a wedding.
So my very first question I want to ask, Swade, is this a romantic comedy to you? Because I know you don't like romantic comedies that much.
I think this is a romantic comedy. I will say it does a few things that I, as a viewer, really gravitate towards. There are very few times romantic comedies I've seen, it makes me want to be in the movie. Like when we watched The Christmas Prince, there was no part of me was like, man, I want to be in The Christmas Prince. I want to be the prince, or I want to be the girl who's pretending and lying to the prince like a fucking bitch and who sucks. But in this movie, so Amanda Bynes has to dress up as a dude to sneak into this school. And so she gets her hairdresser, Paul, her good friend, to help her dress up as a dude. And there's this scene where all this music's playing and they're like trying on fake mustaches and like laughing with she and her girlfriends and Paul, just like having a great time. And I was like, man, I wish I was a cool high school girl with lots of cool high school girlfriends having a good time, which is rare for me to think that. And conversely, when she's dressed up as a dude and is like doing pretty good at soccer, and there are like all these jocks like being like, yeah, bro, soccer. I was like, man, I want to be a soccer boy. I want to be a jock. I want to hang out with my dudes in the shower and be like, yeah, brother. It's also just, I had issues with The Christmas Prince because it did not feel like there was any reason for the prince to be still down with the girl at the end, right? Like there's no reason why he should still be in love with her, because there was like zero time for them to get to know each other. In this movie, it makes total sense as to why Channing Tatum falls for Amanda Bynes' character. I don't think you could do this in reality. I think in reality there'd be like a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of distrust, a lot of issues. But within the confines of the film, and also a lot of questions about whether or not you're gay. You know, because Amanda Bynes is roommates with Channing Tatum as a dude. And so they get close. He's able to be open with Amanda Bynes' character in a way that's like vulnerable. You know, they learn to get along when he finds out that she's a woman and she's been the girl that he kind of has a crush on all this time. It makes sense. They've earned this. It's still not like realistic, but within the confines of the narrative, within the world that they've set up, follows the rules of the film. Instead of just being like, well, now we have to get them together because it's the end of the romance movie. There were like specific scenes where I was like, oh, they're going to earn this. Like there's a section where like Amanda Bynes' character is like, yeah, I like to smooch girls. I like to touch their butts, because she's trying to like be a masculine dude. And Channing Tatum's like, what are you doing, man? You shouldn't talk about ladies like that. It's good to have physical intimacy, but also need like emotions and stuff. And Amanda Bynes as a dude is like, oh, you're right. But inside she's like, oh, I love you. You watch that and you're like, oh, they're going to earn this at the end. They're going to like end up together and it's going to be deserved.
The earning thing is interesting because in the end, is the Christmas Prince also not just a betrayal? That's why you don't think they earned it?
My issue with the Christmas Prince is twofold. One, I think her betrayal goes against the entire energy that the prince manifests, which is that he's tired of being taken advantage of by the paparazzi and the news media. So it would be like if Channing Tatum was like, by the way, when I was little, my dad pretended to be a woman and it ruined my life because I thought he was my mom, but then it turned out that he was my dad.
He was and fucking Dennis Rodman from Cycle.
Yes, exactly. Dennis Rodman, everyone's favorite psychic basketball player.
No, what's this guy's name?
His name's Norman Bates. His name's Norman Bates.
I thought the statement you said sounded a little transphobic. That's why I decided to take the most transphobic example out.
Why is it transphobic? I mean, I guess because he dresses up as...
Okay, if you want to argue Psycho itself is not transphobic, you probably could, but Psycho has definitely reinforced a very transphobic idea that has allowed many movies to continue working in this, which is transgender people can be dangerous serial killers.
I think one of the issues is I don't think Norman Bates is a transgender person. He dresses up as his dead mom. That doesn't mean he's transgender. There's something like else going on there.
Okay, that's fine. I can agree to that. But I do think Psycho itself is a pretty classic reinforcer of the trope.
Yes, that is true. It does reinforce the idea that people who manifest gender identity stuff in a non-traditional way are dangerous. Though, again, I think it's weird to say Norman Bates is manifesting his gender in a non-traditional way. It's
yeah,
something
so
else.
I'm not really talking about it in a literary
no, I know.
Thing
I,
anymore.
I know.
I'm talking about it like more of an influence, like Sleepaway Camp. I'm pretty sure Sleepaway Camp is very influenced by Psycho.
Buffalo Bill, doesn't he dress up as a woman?
That's why I said initially, if you want to make an argument for Psycho, I can see it, but you can't deny its influence.
That there's this theme that emerges, not necessarily directly from Psycho, but that maybe Psycho perpetrates or continues, that is, people who present in non-traditional gender confirmations are dangerous.
Kind of like how Amanda Bynes is so dangerous for fucking Channing Tatum.
She's so dangerous. Also, her name is Amanda Bynes, not Amanda Bynes.
To be honest, I actually know it, but this is one of the terms that even though I know, I can't get it right. It's like crazy.
You can't get it right. Drink every time Walter says Amanda Bynes. Drink water or do a shot of gasoline. Do a shot of motor oil and gasoline every time Walter says Amanda Bynes. So like if Channing Tatum's entire character had a piece of trauma that affected him to his core that had to do with someone lying to him about their gender, and then it turned out in the end that Amanda Bynes is doing that, I would be a little frustrated that they get together because that's his whole thing.
But if his whole thing was, I don't want girls to join the soccer team, and Amanda Bynes
was able
to fucking
convince
him
because I'm like a car now.
that would have worked.
Yes, and here's why. Because there are scenes of her practicing super hard. There's no scenes in The Christmas Prince where she's saving a goldfinch from a feral cat's jaws that like is like, wow, she's a good person. The only good thing she does is she doesn't treat the girl with spina bifida, the Christmas princess, like an invalid. She like treats her normally. That's like the one nice thing she does. She's not mean to people in wheelchairs, which like is a pretty low bar in my experience. Have you ever met someone who's like mean to people in wheelchairs?
I am.
God damn it. God fucking damn it, Walt. I'm gonna put you in a wheelchair. That's what I'm gonna do.
Dude, I'm not mean to people in wheelchairs because they're in fucking wheelchairs. I'm mean to people in wheelchairs because I'm gonna treat you equally in my meanness.
Okay, that's true. You're mean to everyone. You're mean to everyone. I was actually talking with someone last night. We were both talking about how mean you are. We were like, Walter's such a anyhow, I think that if Channing Tatum's whole character issue was that he doesn't think women should play soccer, by the end of the film, he would have understood that he was wrong about that because of how hard he sees her practice and about how she's good at soccer. Because again, you're given time to see these things. I think it's pretty par for the course that if she had admitted she was a woman earlier on in the movie, Channing Tatum probably would have been like, based on his character, would have been like, what? Girls can't play soccer.
It sounds like one of the reasons why there's more to earn is because the direction of this film is a lot clearer, per se, than some of the other romantic comedies out there. Do you think it being a parody or an adaptation of Twelfth Night helps it?
Yes, I do. I don't love Shakespeare's actual plays. I don't like reading plays very much. I don't like the way Shakespeare writes. It's just like not my
thing. What about the glass menagerie? So glass and precious and menagerous.
Yeah, exactly. What's your favorite glass menagerie? Mine is the horse.
I think the woman.
You like the woman. You like the glass woman, the woman made of glass that rides upon the glass horse.
What do you mean? No, the main character. She is the glass menagerie.
Yeah, she's made of glass and she rides upon a glass horse and fights the sun god, Chomolet.
Timothy Chomolet,
the sun god. I think one of the things Shakespeare is really good at is his plots. Like, I think that's one thing.
No,
you can say
I like his poetry. It just doesn't sound like slam poetry or Toni Morrison or stuff like that. So I really like Shakespeare's poetry.
You can't have a conversation about something we had off the podcast.
OTP, one true pairing.
One true podcast. No, but so like his plays have fantastic structure. They are scaffolding. Is why so much work is based off of Shakespeare. Is he's written these really solid plays that have really fantastic scaffolding. Really good bones that you can kind of adapt into anything. So I think it helps. The only Shakespeare play I like is Macbeth. I think Macbeth is super sweet because it's got evil witches and a crazy lady in it. I also like Ophelia.
So I don't know shit about Shakespeare.
Yeah, me neither. Every time we had to do Shakespeare stuff in high school, I'd be like, oh, and I would like do a half-ass job just to like get through it.
I couldn't understand Shakespeare.
I struggle understanding Shakespeare too. It's just so fucking boring. I can't concentrate on it.
Oh, it's not boring for me. The English is just too hard. I don't get how people can read fucking Shakespeare. The English is hard. Why are people so doing it so easily? I'd rather fucking read Leotard than fucking Shakespeare, man, or fucking read goddamn Nietzsche. Nietzsche's probably fucking easier than Shakespeare, but everyone is like, I can read Shakespeare. I'm like, read Nietzsche first, man. It's easier. What is going on?
I think the nuance of Shakespeare's language is probably easier to grok than the nature of Nietzsche's. Shakespeare presents simpler ideas than Nietzsche, or definitely simpler than Art. You know,
when I read Shakespeare, there is no ideas entering my head because I can't understand anything. The two words, it's like Rainbow Dash, and I'm like, is that a fucking My Little Pony reference?
Is that a little My Little Pony reference? Did Shakespeare invent My Little Pony?
I've not understood anything he's written. I swear to God. If his words become more than three...
What about when Lady Macbeth is like, out, damn spot. Out, damn spot. Like, you didn't get that?
What does that even mean?
That's when she's like, after she's killed... I can't remember if she kills the king or something or someone. She kills someone important and she's convinced there's still blood on her hands.
Oh, see? Actually, this is fucking perfect why I don't understand this. Lady Macbeth? I thought Macbeth was a guy.
Macbeth is a guy, but his wife is called Lady Macbeth.
Okay, that's why I didn't understand that at all. See, you don't put Lady next to Macbeth. That's confusing.
Yes, you. I mean, that would be like Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth. What do you mean? Lots of people do that.
Okay, then call him Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth. Use an and. Call Macbeth and
what
Lady
Macbeth.
What do
people call your mom? What do casual acquaintances call your mom?
Auntie something, maybe. And if they said mom and dad, they would be uncle and auntie. They want to be Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, and then I fucking get lost. I don't know. They're two different people. I thought they were the same person the whole time I was reading it.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, Shakespeare, fucking make your language easier.
Yeah, fucking, why can't it be like Curious George? Dude, Curious George is awesome. Do you remember that episode where he huffs Ethel? You remember when he huffs a bunch of Ethel?
Now you're OTP.
Now I'm OTP. No, Walter's like, I watched this movie about this guy. He's addicted to Ethel. I'm like, what the fuck are you, Walter, what the fuck is Ethel? What the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, do you mean ether? Yeah.
Fucking also have a theory that I think might be wrong, because I was thinking about this movie and whether or not you would like it. And when you told me you would like it, I was genuinely surprised. But when I was planning, I kind of thought there was a chance you would like it, and I made up a theory to support it. But I'm also not entirely sure if other rom-coms don't do this. This is why I'm kind of questionable. The reason why I've been thinking about it, though, is because you still like romantic comedy, manga, and anime.
Yes, I do.
And I was thinking about this film feels more like the type of stuff in anime and manga because the caricatures are more in that way. While in most romantic comedies, caricatures are exaggerated, cliche, and can be one-dimensional, this film uses a specific type of acting where the hands are more, the sort of disgust in faces are more.
It's cartoonish.
Yes. So that was my theory.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, because like there are some very funny moments. Really, the only part of this movie that I like actively was like kind of bored with was some of the soccer scenes were like a little boring. I did kind of fast forward through the last little bits of the soccer movie. I have a note towards the end that's like, man, Shaolin Soccer is like a way better soccer movie. If this movie had Shaolin Soccer elements, it would be so fantastic. Girls can't be kung fu soccer masters, and then like she does, like that would be awesome. I would be so fucking,
you know what's also
that.
Funny about the soccer stuff, first of all, Amanda Burns gets substituted out.
Shot.
It's actually, oh sorry, Amanda Bynes. Amanda Bynes gets substituted out because her brother comes back one day earlier and then takes over her place in the soccer match. Obviously he sucks. He gets substituted out, and then Amanda Bynes comes back fucking in and goes, I can do this. And the coach goes, all right, go ahead, go back in. You can't substitute back in a soccer game after you're fucking benched.
I don't know anything about soccer. Is that true?
Yes, it's fucking true. Number two, Channing Tatum throws a somersault pass on his out of bounds play. You don't fucking come from the outside and do an overhead like he does a 360.
Is that against the rules or is that just not done?
I just never seen it. And I also don't know what the use of that would be.
I mean, there is also a section where they like get ready to fight on the soccer field. And I like
that happens.
Don't know though. A whole lot about soccer. Oh, really?
It doesn't happen a lot, but like if some you're fucking two competitor masculine donger men who like if their dicks touch and they're homophobic, they're gonna fight.
Yeah, but don't you get kicked off the field after that?
Oh yeah, they didn't get kicked off the field. What the fuck? No red cards. The only red card someone got was this free penalty at the end.
You're definitely not allowed to pretend to be a dude and then turn out to be a woman and play soccer, right? Like that's definitely against the rules, right?
Okay, there are stuff that are against the rules, but being able to put someone from the fucking bench back in is like just not a soccer. You're fucking playing basketball or something. You might as well.
You're playing soccer like Sway does, which is by breaking the rules. Channing Tatum was hotter in this movie than Amanda Bynes, because like modern Channing Tatum is like a little too muscular for me, but so he's got like a little bit of the Timothée Chalamet energy of being like a little bit lithe. He's still more masculine. That's like he's like very handsome in this movie.
So in other words, if you saw Channing Tatum in 2006, you would be more straight.
No, I think it'd be more gay.
No, remember the really old fucking take back with Catherine? She asked us like how high you rate Channing Tatum. The higher you rate him, the more straight you are.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But no, but I think the younger Channing Tatum is.
Who are you more attracted to? Male Amanda Bynes or the female Amanda Bynes?
Oh my god, the male Amanda Bynes is so okay. You know that voice she does?
Yeah,
her man voice. It feels like it's a racist voice, but I can't figure out to who it's racist against. It just like feels vaguely racist against someone. I'm just not sure who.
It's vaguely racist towards men. Come on, Amanda Bynes. Man,
come on, Amanda Bynes.
Man rights.
Man rights. Man stuff. Dude, this movie is a little bit of the epitome of man stuff. It's pretty funny. The conversations that they have about women border on like insane how much of a false representation of it is. No one is like, damn, look at the knockers on that bitty. No one says it like that, but it is also pretty close to conversations we've had. It's this weird thing where like the dialogue is like not quite right to how those conversations happen, but the spirit and the energy is the exact same.
So this is why I like this movie. I really like this movie because I think Bynes and Channing Tatum have very good chemistry. And I think the big reason for that, both of these characters are incredibly shit and they're not well written. But Bynes is so good at being her flat, shitty character that she makes her character charming. Tatum is so bad at making his character bad, which is perfect because it lets the bad character stay bad. And that type of juxtaposition is like in reverse. And it's so cool.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. What the fuck are you talking about? What does that even mean?
Here's an example. Bynes is having a fucking hard time at school. So she's like complaining to the person who like gave her makeup to be a boy. And she's like, I don't
Paul,
think I can
do who,
this.
By the way, Paul is the best character in this movie. For the record. I love me, Paul. I love me some Paul.
So Amanda comes in the pizza parlor shop and is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fucking come and sit with these guys. And Channing and his friends are like, oh, this guy, let's not sit with him.
Yeah, they don't like him.
Because this is the very bad toxic masculinity talk that actually makes them uncomfortable. What Paul's plan is he sends two of Amanda's friends, all dressed up, looking really hot, to come in and talk to Amanda and be like, wow, I loved you, except you ditched me for someone else. And then Amanda had to say like, some really cool lad Chad shit to like make them leave.
They basically establish a pecking order of fucking, I am so good with women.
These are some of the things that Amanda would say. Foxy mama, I tap that. She even slaps the girl's ass and then goes needy.
Yeah, I mean, like, exactly. All the shitty dudes who listen to the podcast, come on, raise your hand. I know Walter has too, have had conversations about like an attractive lady and been like, yeah, I would give her a smooch. I'd give her a kiss. I'd take her to bed. But no one says I'd tap that, bro.
But she does it also in a way that's super bad, except she's doing it on purpose. Obviously, when she uses a phrase like I tap that, it's so not what she's meaning. That's what I mean. There's like this distance between her acting of being really good because she's playing this character who is so bad at doing it, but she's so good at playing how bad this character is doing it.
And we as the viewers can see how bad she is at it, but the rest of the characters cannot. And so it makes for a pretty fun experience.
Well, they do kind of see it. That's why they need this hierarchy scene to establish that his style is actually working and not wrong. On the other hand, Tatum is just fucking trash, dude. Because Tatum, in this fucking scene, guys, what's going on here? Who was that? And it's just like bad acting. It's just bad. It's not
no,
even
he's
like
not
he's not Amanda Bynes, where Amanda Bynes is so good at playing a character who is bad. He is just bad.
And he's got this weird, again, with the accents, he's got this weird accent that, is that also racist somewhere? Like, I'm not sure how, but it like could feel like, I feel like this is racist. I'm just not sure how.
So that scene with like a good juxtaposition of their styles of acting, which I feel like increased their chemistry. And number two, when you were talking about that scene where Channing Tatum was like, no, dude, you got to think about the girl. Don't think about just that stuff. That was such a great... Channing Tatum sucks at acting scene because yeah. Channing Tatum sat on his bed and was like, oh, I don't want to do physical stuff. I just want to talk about stuff. And Bynes is like, what stuff? What are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know, man. Stuff. And she's like, this stuff? And he's like, yeah. Stuff. It's supposed to be stuff, like as in super
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, yeah. But there's no deepness going on.
Yeah, there's no deepness going. But the energy is it's deep. And you get it. You connect with it. But it's because also Tatum is so bad in that scene that you sort of also understand that it's deep because you actually genuinely understand he has no fucking idea what he's saying in that moment.
I think one of the other things, like, so Shakespeare's characters in his drama and his tragedies tend to be more complex than the ones in his comedies, right? The comedy characters tend to be pretty simple. It functions similarly with this movie. If you made Channing Tatum or Amanda Bynes a more complicated character, the bottom of the film would start to fall out. Because the movie sets up these characters that are a little flatter, a little less three-dimensional, you give it that leniency. Because you're like, oh, she really likes him because he's different. Because there's a girl who's interested in Amanda Bynes as her brother and really loves her lyrics and or her brother's lyrics because her brother's in a band. And like that's like what makes her fall in love with him a little bit. When they interact again, when she actually meets him, she's like, oh, your lyrics were so good. I am interested in you. Because the whole thing was that he was interested in her lyrics.
Is this a response to me talking about Bynes and Tatum having two different actings.
Yes, because I think this is both Channing Tatum and Amanda Bynes doing a flat character. I think if you see both of them in later stuff, like the character Amanda Bynes is doing is basically just the character she's done in other TV shows. This character that Channing Tatum is doing is like when he's supposed to act a flat character. And Amanda Bynes kind of stayed consistent with this thing she does. Like, her characters are like, I'm spunky and kind of different. I don't wear high heels, but also, like, I do a funny voice. Like, that's her whole thing.
I think you're dragging the conversation completely into a different topic because I'm not really talking about the quality of Tatum or Bynes acting. My counterexample that you are very in connection with. When you talked about Jack Nicholson, Joker, and Ben Affleck, Alfred, you were saying that Jack Nicholson's juxtaposition with Ben Alfred was like a really fun dynamic.
Yes.
So I think that example parallels Bynes and Tatum's chemistry.
Also, you mean Batman?
Ben Affleck, sorry.
Because, okay, so first you said Ben Affleck, and then you said playing Alfred, and then you said Ben Alfred. And I also don't think it's Jack Nicholson, I don't think it's Ben Affleck who's in.
Ben McAdoo.
Ben Carson. It's Michael Keaton, you dumb whore.
Okay, I apologize. Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. Isn't it that Jack Nicholson is so good and then Ben Keaton is so bad? Michael Keaton is so bad.
Yeah. Which is weird because Michael Keaton is not a terrible actor. He's just really bad in Batman. Not unlike Channing Tatum.
So I think you can have two flat characters and admit that, okay, you're not giving either actor or an actress a fair go at being flat. Because being a flat character is not easy. But you can still judge someone. They weren't that good at being flat there.
I mean, I think that's like the difference between like Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean's characters are very one-dimensional. They're just like, look at this silly guy be a silly goofster. But he's so good at that character that it doesn't bother you that he's flat.
Wait, so what does flat mean? Flat just means one-dimensional?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought flat meant zilch.
What do you mean zilch?
Non-intrusive. Because Mr. Bean is pretty intrusive as a character.
In that he facilitates the plot movement, yeah.
What I mean is if Mr. Bean was like in the writing circle, he would be affecting things of other writers. You can put Channing Tatum into any single fucking story and he could probably exist.
Maybe, but I think Channing Tatum's character is more important than that. I mean, he's a flat character. He is one note. He is the jock who is more sensitive, but cannot be because he's a jock. So you can put that character in a lot of different high school romance films.
I think it's like flat because I use that stuff conversation as an example. It's not like stuff is actually deep or that Tatum makes that scene deep, but you feel it's deep because the writers manipulate that scene to be important. It's the environment or other characters and writing that tell you he is vulnerable.
Okay, so what you're saying is Channing Tatum's character, there's no outward presentation of him being a handsome jock who's actually more sensitive, outside of the fact that every once in a while the writers will be like, look, he's more sensitive, and they don't actually show how more sensitive he is. They're just like pointing at it.
Yeah, in fact, the people who call him more sensitive is fucking Amanda Bynes. She's the one who goes to the fucking Channing Tatum's crush and tells Channing Tatum's crush, hey, he might be something more than just a job.
No, but she realizes he's more sensitive when they interact. There are like scenes where she realizes he's
not true. That girl hated that date and never tried to get to know Tatum at all. I don't know. I just don't think when Channing Tatum delivers those scenes, it's like, oh, I think he's more sensitive because Channing Tatum is doing a good job of showing his sensitivity.
Oh, yeah,
it's
no.
That Amanda Bynes is like, oh, this is the sensitive part, guys. Or the writers are writing, this is a sensitive part, guys. On the other hand, Amanda Bynes is the person showing you. She's the one facilitating the badness of the character. But the funny thing is, I love the fact that Tatum is bad at it because I think it creates an even more interesting chemistry.
I think some of that, I mean, just has to be the way it is, right? Some of that is, like, you have to have a character who leans into the shenanigans more if they're doing something as absurd as pretending to be someone else so you can play soccer.
Let's try to compare it to maybe rom-coms. I guess there are some rom-coms that are famous for having two more complicated characters. I'm thinking Elaine May's movies, maybe. Then you have films where both characters are flat and people consider both actors being bad, if Pretty Woman is that for you. In most of Elaine May's movies, the actors actually have to sort of outshine one another. There's almost a competition in their chemistry. And I kind of feel that way with rom-coms when both characters are not very good at their role. Outshine might not be the right word, but there's a type of sort of competition in the acting. Neither actor is sort of giving the other actor too much liberties. With Tatum being so bad at this character, he almost funnels or channels into Amanda Bynes' character. And that's what I'm talking about with this chemistry being unique and attractive to me. It's not like their chemistry is good because they're witty or they hang out well together. It's almost like a service type of chemistry where Channing Tatum's bad acting and terrible character supports and brings out the best out of Bynes' character. So every single time Tatum does something bad, Bynes looks really good. And every single time you recognize something quirky that Bynes does, it gets compared or traced back to something bad that Tatum does. And that is like kind of an aw feeling of chemistry that I really appreciate in this film.
The chemistry is good, by the way. And some of that is that Channing Tatum, his dialogue is not that great, but he's very good at making faces in this film. Like, it's a little bit like Twilight. When Channing Tatum looks at Amanda Bynes and, like, wants to give her a smooch, there's, like, acting. Like, he's like, oh, he really does want to give her a smooch. Or when he gets upset and does, like, dude bro stuff, he really does seem upset. It's just, like, every time he opens his mouth to deliver bad dialogue, you're like, Channing Tatum. But it's fine, because he's supposed to be kind of a dumb, flat guy in the movie.
That's true. You're right. The faces are good. That last fucking face where they win the soccer match, but they can't be together yet. Yes. And they both have to walk away. Well, since this film is about sexism and toxic masculinity, I thought we could be toxic men together, Suede, because that's everyone's favorite.
That's true. We are both very toxic. We are toxic individuals.
And people love listening to men talk about their toxic masculinity, right? That's like so fucking fun.
Yeah.
The first thing that I was thinking about, though, because in the opening credits, it's obviously like, here's Amanda Burns. I'm Amanda Bynes.
Another shot of motor oil. Slam it down, baby. Slam it.
Here's Amanda Bynes with her fucking
soccer ball,
but she's wearing skimpy outfits. Let's objectify her. What are some skimpy sport outfits you've seen?
Have you read I Like Big Girls? It's a manga comic about this short, he's like the manager of a college, what do you call it, where they hit the ball over the net? Netball?
Volleyball?
Volleyball. Yeah.
God damn. Volleyball is actually a top tier sport. I'm disappointed.
And I agree. I really liked I Like Big Girls. I think that's what it's called. I can't remember if it's called I Like Big Girls or I Like Big Juniors. But it's about all these super tall women that this guy, like, and they all end up having sex with him because they all think he's adorable.
So is this a hentai?
But he only likes one of the girls. It's like hentai adjacent. But there are a lot of skimpy outfits in that. If we're talking about skimpy outfits, volleyball, despite being like a hard and cool sport, can gravitate towards like, juggalo, check them out. Yeah, beach babes.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why is because volleyball is one of the more sports that people gravitate to watching the women's side of the sports. The reason, what I'm really talking about here is like sports being pretty man and a little weird when it comes to that. I wanted to bring your attention to this time when the NFL tried to have women NFL sports. Have you seen those outfits?
No, I've not. Is it wild?
Yeah, they're pretty fucking insane. They basically wear underwear.
Well, that's not gonna help you beat. That's not gonna help you from a tackle. That's not gonna help you from a tackle at all. Should we do an episode about women's NFL?
I think it was like so short-lived too.
It's like something we could watch all of it.
It's called the X League, and it was founded in 2009 and ended in 2013. Originally, it was called Lingerie Football League, and then rebranded into Legends Football League.
Okay, I do know about Lingerie Football League, yeah.
Oh, you do know?
I know the name, I've heard it talked about. I mean, how could I not know about something called the Lingerie Football League? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but dude, I have also caught you, like, watching videos of pole vaulters and stuff like that in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah!
Like, I don't think there's any sport that women play that's not a ball sport that isn't skimpy. Like, soccer, it's
also
not very skimpy.
By the way, Suede's talking about Yulia Levchenko, my fucking dream goddess, Ukrainian pole vaulter.
Yulia Levchenko. Where is she from again? Is she from Serbia?
No, she's from Ukraine.
Oh, man. Dude, Shout out to you, Greg. Oh, man.
Yulia.
Who would you rather hang out with, Yulia or Amanda Bynes?
The Amanda Bynes in this film is really hard to beat. But Amanda Bynes does not seem like a fun person.
No, she seems pretty unstable.
Yulia, even if she's mean, at least Yulia can like vault over me and make me feel small and insignificant. You know what I mean?
So fucking weird. What about professional wrestling? There are a lot of skimpy outfits in professional wrestling.
You know, wrestling for me, I don't watch too much. I tried really hard to get into Japanese female wrestling because I like the characters they brought out, but I don't know.
The characters. Okay. I'm not going to let this bit just be you talking about different hot women from sports.
No, I want to talk about like our experiences of playing with girls in sports and other people's reactions, because this happened to me super recently.
Okay, then you go ahead, because my experience playing sports with women was a bunch of us would get together and play sports, and we were all very bad.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're basically the woman on the field. Sexist joke! Can we put that in the podcast?
Sexist joke! I know one of our listeners used to play volleyball pretty seriously. My friend Kelly, and now she's got fucked up knees.
I mean, you can still play volleyball, you just probably can't play it seriously.
But that's what I mean. Like I remember like in high school playing volleyball sometimes, and like we were all terrible at it. Not one of us was any good at it. But Kelly was like, actually did volleyball. She did enough volleyball to where she hurt her knee.
So I've been playing basketball every week recently.
Such a Chad. So cool. Dude, so muscular, so powerful.
No, I'm still super fat and ugly and gross. It's actually so embarrassing. No matter how much I do, this is the problem with sports. You do sports and then you come home and then you chug Coke and then McDonald's. And it's like nothing fucking changed. Anyways, so my coach likes to bring random people who used to play professionally, but they're like older. He thinks it's like good practice. So he brought this one guy, and then on the other side of the court, there was a group of guys with one girl. And she's like way shorter than me, and I'm already very short. But she's quick. She moves really fast on the field. It seems like she knows how to cut with precise decision making.
She's very good at cutting the ball with scissors. She's very good at slicing the ball with her scissors.
Yes, because girls can't play basketball. Thanks, Suede.
No.
That was a sexist joke by Suede.
Everyone knows the WNBA is great. Did you hear what Shaq said about the WNBA?
No, what the fuck did he say? Also, do you even know who Shaq is?
Yeah, of course I love Shaq. Shaqaroni, man, the Shaqaroni pizza. Are you kidding me?
Because I've heard a lot of people like reference basketball players and then they mix them up with different ones.
Well, look, these are the two basketball players I know.
Nikola Jokic, my Serbian god.
Yeah. Actually, I think I can only think of one right now, and it is Shaq, that I've, like, extendedly watched things of him, mostly having to do with him owning Papa John's, which I think is really awesome. But Shaq was, like, talking about how, like, the problem with the WNBA is that they all really have good skills. There's just no dunks. That's what people like. So they just need to lower the rim so that the women can dunk. They just need to lower it a little bit so that the height works out so that women can dunk. And he says WNBA will be way better. People will watch, because that's what they like. They like the dunks. Which I think from a dunksman like Shaq, like, it makes sense that Shaq would say that. I don't know if it's true or not, but like, you know, Shaq's a premium dunksman.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. I think in the end, people are just not going to watch the WNBA. I mean, the Women NFL League is kind of a great example, right? People think that sex sells and still no one watches that league. People just don't watch women's sports. I think there's like way more interesting things being said by people than talking heads like Shaq, but I don't really think anyone can do this conversation justice right now. I do have a take that I haven't heard from anyone though, which is probably going to be a wrong take, but at least it's unique. What could help is a switch in mentality that you don't aim to be a star and you aim to be like the best role player. So why I have this theory is because Asians still suck at basketball. And the reason, in my opinion, is because your two most famous Asians is Yao Ming, who was a star because he was gigantic, but you can't replicate that. And then Jeremy Lin, who was a star for a month, which is unsustainable. But I feel like if Asians tried to be more like role players, you would actually develop more, because a lot of Europeans started as role players. So right now in basketball, there's actually some Japanese role players. And if Japan starts developing pretty good basketball players, I'm going to feel pretty confident about this take.
Right, like you pretend to be a wizard on the basketball field, right? You pretend to be a wizard or maybe a barbarian on the basketball field. You cast magic missile and the missile knocks the ball into the hoop.
What does that have to do with role players?
Like role play, like tabletop, like role play.
Okay, but wizards are real. Why do you need to role play a wizard then?
RPG stands for role playing game. Just get a wizard
to fucking join the basketball court.
I agree. Are you kidding me? I think sports would be way cooler.
Then why? This has nothing to do with rolling.
What is role playing? What are you talking about role playing? I'm talking about role-playing games. I'm talking about
role playing games. You can't have a wizard do role-playing games because the wizard is real. You can't role-play something that's real.
Okay, well, maybe I pretend to be a sexy nurse on the basketball field.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm role-playing as a sexy nurse.
Well, then your wizard was a bad example. That's all I'm saying.
No, it was a good example because the wizard could cast a spell to make the ball go in and it's 3 points. Shazam. There we go.
But it has nothing to do with role playing.
You know what I do sometimes? I role play that I have a better podcast host to be on the podcast with. Sometimes in the dead of night, I do the podcast in my head with someone who's way better at it than you.
You do that on the podcast
itself.
That's true.
That's true. I carry the bit. I am the 3-point man, but I am also the rebounder. I'm the one who like goes for the 3 points. You know, normally I'd need someone to rebound it in for me if it bounces off the rim, but I have to do both. I could headbutt the entire world, and then who's going to be on the basketball field? Not you, because you got a concussion from my headbutt, which is in the rules. I don't know if you've read the rules of the NBA, but they say headbutts are allowed. Okay, so there's this short girl on your team. What is her name?
I don't know. What is She's her name? A fucking her name stranger. Is... Short girl. Okay, her we'll name's Short her... Girl.
No. Don't dehumanize people, Walt. That's dehumanizing. You're not being a good feminist.
Okay, it's fucking Ching Chong.
Oh, boy.
She's a fucking
Asian.
Yeah,
I can't say that.
Okay, you don't need to say her name. It's my story.
But I want to talk about her. Okay. What if her name was Guan Liu?
You might as well just said Ching Chong, man.
Wait, what's that guy's name? What's his name again? What's the guy?
So fucking dumb.
What's his name? I forgot
dumb.
It.
So fucking
It's like Guan Yu or something.
Oh, is it fucking Jack?
What's his name?
Is it my Chinese name?
Yeah, it's Wufang. It's Wufang.
So Wufang is like getting guarded by this guy and she clashes into him a little bit. The guy who I was talking about was like an ex-pro. Oh, so I'm on the sidelines because I suck.
You got benched?
Yeah, I got benched. The guy comes over and like starts talking to my coach and the people who are playing. He's like, oh my God, dude, I don't know what happened with that girl, but something really sharp touched me. And the people were like, what do you mean
sharp? Yeah,
what
are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about? And he's just like, I don't know. It was sharp. It was weird. And they were like, is it her boobs? And he's like, nah, her boobs were too small. It couldn't be. And then they were like, oh, it must be a dick. And they started laughing about this.
Wait, like, what? Can you explain to me what they meant by the word sharp? Because when I think sharp, I do not think boobs or dick. I think like a knife or a needle. What do they mean by sharp?
Is that weird in English? It makes sense pretty in Chinese. It's just deem. You can call dicks and boobs sharp.
Is it like pointy?
Pointy. Yeah, pointy.
So pointy. That makes sense. Something pointy touched me. Okay.
In sports, that experience, I feel like happens quite a lot. When someone you don't think should be playing well because of gender or sex, you make it into sexist or transphobic.
Like whether or not she's good at basketball is less important than that her boob might have touched you.
Yeah, and this guy is like, as I said, an ex-basketball player, so it's not some fucking weird elementary school shit. It's just weird how sports deny so much femininity in people. If you're good, you can't have big boobs, or they make you into a man and desexualize you. But funny enough, the reason why they're so insecure is because they are sexually attracted to you.
And you said something, right, Walt? You said something. You went up to him and you said, you know what? I'm a feminist and I think that's not cool.
No.
You need to say apologize. You did. You said, I'm standing up for women's rights. I'm a good man. I'm a hero.
God,
and you stood up, right?
I was fine with making all these sexist jokes, but goddamn, Swain made me feel really bad about not standing up right now. I am a fucking failure of an ally. I'm not even an ally. I don't even know why I pretend I am.
Sometimes, like, when like, people next door, the waiters next door are, like, talking about women and I, like, want to feel included, I will do the, like, amen, brother, because I want to be, like, a cool guy who smokes cigarettes, even though I know it's shitty.
Amen, brother.
Here's our difference. You actively don't want to call people out. I actively want to be included. That's the difference. You're moving to the sidelines. You just don't want to be a part of it. And me, I'm like, no, I want to be one of the boys. I want to be cool.
Okay, new debate of toxic masculinity. Who is more toxic?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's me, dude. I'm pretty sure it's me.
No, I just mean, like, everyone loves to hear people compare about who's more toxic. That's everyone's favorite conversation to listen to.
I was talking to Celine, actually. I'm pretty sure it was Celine. It might have been someone else. Where she was saying that it's very rare that you see a movie where someone is pretending to be a gender they are not and it doesn't end up being transphobic.
I do think this movie has a little bit of transphobia, though. Because the implication is still, I needed to finally see you outside of your man identity.
I don't think that's transphobic. I think that's more homophobic.
Yeah, this film has, for a movie that has so much potential for being quite gay, it actually stems a little more homophobic.
My thought to this film is, if I was going to rewrite this movie, I would be interested in, like, Amanda Bynes is still very feminine as a male character. As much as she, like, puts on this bad man voice, I mean, she still looks womanish. She still has very feminine, traditionally feminine features. Like, I think it would have made a more interesting movie if he could tell that Amanda Bynes' male character has more feminine features and has complicated feelings in that regard. Like, that would make this movie 100% more interesting.
Okay, here's some of the transphobia. I think one of the people who does recognize she might have sort of feminine features is her principal.
Wait, when does he do that?
Oh, shit. I might have just referenced a scene that wasn't included. Did he never imply she was actually gay?
No.
Did the principal ever imply he was gay in the film?
No.
This is definitely a cutout scene. Sorry. Okay.
How did you see cutout scenes? Were you in the cutting room floor? Were you, like, there when they were making this movie in 2006?
No, you can go on YouTube and find cutout scenes. There's this really funny part where they cut out this whole cheerleader dance scene. I think they filmed it because they thought it would be a funny bit to include tits and ass in a film about toxic masculinity. But I think one of the editors must have been like, dude, why are we including cheerleading tits and ass in a movie about masculinity?
I don't think I would call this movie transphobic because I think it is so...
Dude, okay.
No, let me finish. Don't fucking... Do you want to go? Do you want to fucking rumble in the jungle, bro?
I just, like, don't understand. What's the desire of, like, getting this into a label? I said it could be, like, a little bit transphobic. That's all I said.
I know, but I have a point I want to make. I think when you see transphobia in movies where characters dress up as a gender that they are not, like Mrs. Doubtfire or whatever, the jokes are, there's no way this is a lady. There's no way this is a lady. Other characters can see that he is being a bad woman. And the crux of this film is that Amanda Bynes, no one can argue that within the confines of this film that she's not a dude. There's no jokes about how, like, huh, she sure isn't a dude. Gender does not play into this film as, like, is she a man? Is she a woman? There's no questions about that. I don't think this movie's transphobic because there's no question that the other characters think she's a dude. There are no jokes about how she's, like, very clearly not a dude. I think this movie, in fact, is a little more homophobic because there's no space for Channing Tatum to be attracted to male Amanda Bynes. And you know what? If there are people who are listening who disagree, I would love to hear about it.
People are not going to disagree with this take like that. It's the fact that you're so hung on the fact that you want to use the word, it's not transphobic. Is this film like a movie, as you say, that questions gender, where they're denying the identity you're trying to pick? Yeah, no, this film is not that. But there are many different types of transphobia, right?
I guess why I'm interested in this question, to me, this movie is, like, so far removed from even the concept of the trans identity that it feels like it's not transphobic because it can't even interact with that sphere, which I guess in and of itself is transphobic. Maybe the transphobic element is that there is no way that someone who is born female can present as a male. And the reason I bring this up is because I think there are a lot of movies where characters have to dress in drag that have this specific kind of transphobic joke. And you don't see that in this movie. When the humor is based on gender, it's usually about how shitty dudes are. Like when Amanda Bynes is like, I top that, right? You know, like the joke is not like, ha, Amanda Bynes is not a man. It's like, ha, high school dudes suck.
Yes, yes. I just like, I can't exactly be like, oh, there's nothing. It just can't be perfect when Channing Tatum is like, please stay a girl. At the end.
I see that to me, that's like a homophobic thing, but maybe it is also a transphobic thing. Because even there's even a joke where like she's messing with her wig. I mean, like traditionally in Mrs. Doubtfire, when they're messing with their wig, the joke would be like, oh, look at that man hair. It's obvious that she's a woman or he's a man, not a woman. But in this movie, the joke is that the principal thinks she's bald and is like, it's okay to be bald. Chicks dig bald guys. It doesn't play with the same joke there.
To be honest, and this is going to be super fucking hot takey, but whenever you talk about gender roles, novels, there's always an opportunity to read it, especially if you write it lightly in this romantic comedy. There's always going to be an opportunity to take it however you want to take it offensively. And the people who are super anti-cancel culture, people are going to like whine about it. But I have no issue with that because it just proves how complicated gender is.
And it also proves how one of the nice things about this movie is how one-dimensional the characters are. So you don't have to go through a lot of complicated hoops for all these shenanigans to happen. The inverse of that is that it relies on traditional stereotypes to make jokes, which can hurt people's feelings. The flatter and more one-dimensional you make your characters, the easier it is for them to be like quote-unquote canceled, because the easier it is to point at the holes and be like, that's fucked up. There's like this joke where the one black guy in the movie, as it turns out, has a crush on this weird girl with headgear named Ethel.
And Ethel? He's like,
Ethel. Wait, is her name not Ethel? What the fuck is her name?
I don't know. I thought Ethel is the drug.
Ethel is the drug. Anyhow, and the joke is, how could he like her? In a vacuum, you could make that joke just like this guy has different taste in women that not like everyone else, but because he's the one black guy in the movie and she's the one weird not very attractive girl that we meet in the film, it like brings up questions that can be pulled apart, where like if they were a more complicated three-dimensional character, you could be like, oh, it's not just because like he's the one black guy and she's the one kind of not traditionally attractive girl, you know, he's really into space and she's like fascinated with the stars. It's in the same way that it's easy to like be like, oh, this is kind of homophobic, you could probably find things that feel racist from it because it's so one-dimensional. It's easy to push stereotypes onto it. When you watch Dancer in the Dark, the characters are like kind of complicated-ish in there, right? To go back to a movie we watched.
I don't know, dude.
Walda doesn't know anything. Walda doesn't know about movies.
I thought we argued that they were like paintbrushes, though.
Yeah, they are a little bit like paintbrushes, you're right. What about Whale Rider?
Then we're getting into, like, are they more complicated than this? Because I already mentioned that I think Rail Rider is an oversimplified version of the problem.
That's true, but the grandfather in Rail Rider has more layers.
Okay, so, like, he has three layers instead of one.
But, like, the more layers you add to the character, I think, the less you can be like, I hate this, I think this is bad, because the less it is, like, that's true. That's true. On a little more serious note, my dad has brain cancer, which he's had for a minute. This is not new, but he is going to have to get more surgery for his brain cancer. They gotta remove what's grown back, and they gotta see if there's this other thing in there that is cancer or is just scar tissue. And it's gonna be a while before he can get back to work. And so, like, I know I talked about asking for money and stuff as a joke, but I am gonna tweet the GoFundMe, because that's a fourth of the family income. We all chip in to stay in the house and stuff like that. And so it would help us out if you could donate, or if you can't donate, share it, just because... because no one prepares for this, you know, because we thought we were good, we thought he'd kind of beaten it, but that's not the case. And he's gonna be out of work for a month, and that's like a month's worth of paychecks. And my dad makes the most money out of all of us, and it's not just like the household, right? It's also like the medical bills, the hotel my mom has to stay at because they have to do surgery, and like all the stuff. Like a very good hospital, but one that is not in Roanoke. So yeah, if you want to donate or share, I will definitely shout you out on the podcast. And try not to be emotional about it. Try not to get choked up, though that could happen. Wait, you want to make a joke, Walt? You want to do a bit?
Sure, I'll do a bit. The same brain cancer that caused your lungs to have bronchitis.
That's true. Yeah.
The link will also be in the description, though, just so everyone knows, in case you don't want to use Twitter.
And if my dad dies during brain surgery, then we'll, I don't know, then we'll talk about that. That'll be an episode, I guess. Or it should be me crying.
It might just be me talking about doing
another solo episode.
A fucking solo episode.
A fucking pretentious
Everyone's
movie.
Favorite fucking episodes of me just talking about nothing.
And, you know, here's the other thing. Even if you don't want to donate money or share, if you listen to this, just like, I don't know, put out some positive vibes for my family and my dad. My dad is the main one who needs positive vibes. We're all okay, but I mean, it's going to be a 12-hour long surgery.
So where can they put out positive vibes?
You can send us an email. You can send us a tweet, but you can also just put it out in the universe.
Pray for
you? I know that's like some hippie shit. Yeah, I guess. Or like just whatever.
Okay, fine. I'll say... I do feel very sorry for you, Sweet, and I apologize that I'm so mean that you never feel that I love you enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was so upset, and Walter was like, I don't care. Do the podcast. Do it.
But we're hoping that we'll get a lot of shout outs for next couple episodes. And also, I did say that I wanted a due date for me holding water in my mouth, but I kind of think we'll fucking just do it when we get 5 more ratings too. And I'll just hold water in my mouth in my fucking intro.
Just holding it.
Yeah, just holding it.
Just holding it in your mouth like it's a, like you're an alligator holding its baby alligator in your mouth.
Holding it in my mouth like you're holding your tears right now.
Yeah, like I'm holding my juicy, juicy dad tears. I think that's going to do it. A little bit of a somber note, but that's all right. Just remember, girls can do sports as good as boys as long as they dress in drag for practice. That is the message of Amanda Bynes' film.
Well, this is a good message.
It's a good message. It's a good, solid message. And nothing left to say, but if you're going to watch a movie, do it with the lights off.